Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Glad that we can, thankful that we can come and come together and worship the Lord, worship Him, and give honor to Him. At times like this, we sometimes take it for granted that we can come together and just share this time together. And just stood out to me this morning that it's a real privilege, and I just want God to know that I feel it's a privilege to have this, that we can come and be together like this as believers. This morning I would like to speak about contentment, and this subject is possibly, in some ways it seems elementary, you know, it seems like a thing that we all know, a thing that we shouldn't really have to speak about. Should maybe speak about something that is more deep. But I recently have, at times we all go through situations and we go through times of our life where we worry, have anxiety, and I've had to deal with this in my life too. I know maybe I don't think more than anybody else, but I don't think that I have it so difficult. But I just know that if I'm honest, that I have to recognize that I have struggled with that. And when a person struggles with worry, anxiety, it's a good sign. It's a good indicator that you may have discontentment in your life. And so I was been studying about this a little bit, and I thought maybe we could encourage each other this morning with this. You know, contentment, as I was studying yesterday morning early, I kept thinking, how do you explain discontentment, or how does it work, or what goes on? And I had to think of my early morning schedule when I wake up and have my devotions, and I'll just run through it, and it's not as bad as what I'm going to say now, but I just had to think about, really, I'm being discontent when I go through this routine. You know, I come down from, I wake up, alarm clock rings, you wake up, you come downstairs, and I go to the stove and I stoke the fire, and then I grab my Bible to have my morning devotions, and just as I am doing that, I think about how I would like to have coffee. So I go and brew some coffee, prepare some coffee, and as I'm doing that, usually, you know, you throw the coffee grinds away, and you might find the trash is full, so you empty the trash, and then you come back over to the living room by the fire and grab your Bible and think, okay, and I'm going to have my devotions. And I think about, you know, I would like to have it with my computer because I can study a lot better with that. So I go upstairs and grab my computer, come down and turn it on, and then the coffee's brewed. So I go over to grab a cup of coffee. And then I turn my computer on and hear the battery's dead. So I go back upstairs, get the cord, plug it in. And I know this seems far out, but, you know, really this goes on in our lives like this. And it does in mine. And then you finally get set down to with your computer, reading the Bible on your computer, and you have your cup of coffee there, and everything is just perfect, you know. But it goes on and on. Next thing you're tempted, I want a cookie to go with the coffee while I'm reading it. And I just had to think about it as I was studying, you know, that is really discontentment, because why can't I come downstairs, stoke the fire, grab my Bible, and just sit there and meditate and read, just right there, you know. And that's maybe small and far out, but I think it goes along those lines sometimes in our lives. And it seems to me that one of the reasons that we struggle with discontentment is because we have too many options and we have too many distractions. And so to be content with what is going on in my life right now, right now, we have to temporarily clear our minds and our heart of all distractions and all responsibilities, and to just to be content with where I am and what's going on. And there was a soldier that was coming home from war, and a pastor was talking to him and told the soldier that, "I'm sure you missed home very much." And the soldier said, "It is not when we're on duty in a far off country. It's not we're trained not to think about home. We're trained to think about being on duty and being available for whatever is calling them where they're at right now." And contentment is a little bit like that. That we need to be content with what's going on right now and not be thinking about how we wish we could be over here or wish we could be there. And I think it's nice to, this is just bringing out a point. I'm sure that every soldier thinks about home even still. And I used the example of my devotion time. But if we look at the bigger picture of our life, I think we will find that all the other options that we have in life and all the distractions we have in our lives, they help tempt us to be dissatisfied and to be discontented. A little quotation that I have is, "Discontentment makes rich men poor, while contentment makes poor men rich." And there is a story of a rich industrialist who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. And he asked the fisherman, "Why aren't you out there fishing?" he asked. "Because I've caught enough fish for today," said the fisherman. "Why don't you catch more fish than you need?" the rich man asked. "What could I do with them?" "You could earn more money," came the impatient reply, "and buy a better boat so you could go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets, catch even more fish, and make more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me." The fisherman asked, "Then what would I do?" "You could sit down and enjoy life," said the industrialist. "What do you think I'm doing now?" The fisherman replied as he looked placidly out to sea. So, you know, it's a cycle. It goes on and on. And when we are discontent, when we are not content, we are believing a lie. And if you think through, that's what we're doing. There is also another aspect to contentment that we all deal with, each one of us do, and that is when we compare ourselves with other people or compare what we have to what other people have. And it causes us to be discontent, because even if you're rich, or I don't want to use the word rich or poor, but I might use those occasionally, but even if you have a lot and you don't really have any needs, that doesn't make that you'll be satisfied. And even if you have nothing and you want, you know, you're not satisfied then either. It doesn't seem to go along the lines of rich or poor. It seems to go along the lines of humanity. It's part of us. It's what we deal with. Why can't we be content with where God has us in our life or by what God has given us? And I like to read. I invite you to turn with me, if you want, to 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to read several verses there. And this just brings out the point from the biblical standpoint of contentment. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6 is where I'll start reading. I'm going to read through verse 12. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'm going to stop there. And it's just to paraphrase what this chapter has said. True gain, or to be rich, is to be saved. Just like appreciated Nelson's devotions on the gift of salvation, how big it is. And that is true gain, to be saved and thankful for what God has done for you, to realize how big of that gift of salvation he has given us, realizing every day what he has done for you. We came into this world with nothing, and it is positively sure we will take nothing with us when we die. Nothing. A true Christian should be content with having our needs fulfilled and not desiring to have more than what we need. Excuse me. When we covet and desire to be rich, we fall into the snare of the devil and lose our faith in Jesus. To love money and desire to be rich is the root of all evil. All evil that is available, all evil that's out there to participate in or to have, it grows up from the root of loving money. So loving money is a root that's down deep. And all evil that we face, that we see, that we know about, stems from that root of evil. And which leads me to believe that discontentment is sin. Christian people should do all that can be done to be a good Christian. And I'm paraphrasing the last part of this passage that I read where he says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. You know, we should do all we can do to be a good Christian. Don't try to live a Christian life halfway or just try to get by. Live a strong Christian life, like the verses Marcus quoted in Ephesians this morning. Be righteous, godly, have faith and love. Discontentment will eventually starve you spiritually. If you go on in discontentment and you allow it to be in your life, it'll starve you spiritually. It'll make you weak in your Christian life. You won't be able to be strong. There is a minor issue that you may feel at times, or that you might be confused about, or I have been confused about. We preach contentment, and the Bible teaches contentment very strong. But at the same time, we say that we shouldn't be content with the growth in our Christian walk. And how do you be content, but yet you're not supposed to be content with your Christian walk? Because each of us knows that our spiritual life always needs improvement. And where do you draw that line, or how do you mix those together? But I think that if you look at it correctly from the Bible, it seems to me that we should not be content with our Christian progress until we have finished the fight, until we're in heaven. Only then can we be content with our spiritual walk. And I think the scripture that Paul says that, fight the good fight of faith, and he talks about, not that I have attained, but not until the end. But he keeps pressing on towards that mark. So in our Christian walk, contentment is not speaking about being content about how we do spiritually. We should constantly always be growing more spiritual, more mature in our life that way. I'd like to read also from Philippians 4. You can turn with me if you like. We just need to remember that contentment has to do with accepting our circumstances, regardless what they are, but not to do with our spiritual life. So Philippians 4, verse 10, I'm going to read 10 through 13 to go on here. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. everywhere, in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I'll stop there. But in verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Basically, he would be saying, like it says at the end of the verse, I know how to have much, and I can be satisfied if I have a lot, and I can be satisfied if I don't have enough. And so Paul's saying that we can be content regardless what is going on in our lives at the current time. We don't have to be grouchy when things are going bad. Christians should be content when we have little or when we have much. And Paul says that we can be happy when things are bad and when things are good. So contentment, if you take well what Paul is saying here, contentment is a choice. It doesn't have anything to do with our circumstances. It's a decision that we each have to make. And have you noticed that some of us might struggle being happy and content even when everything around us is good and all things around us are happy? We still struggle with it. It doesn't help us when everything is perfect to be content. It's a choice we have to make. I'd like to look at some results of discontentment. And I just have a couple things here that I just wanted to look at a little bit. And maybe the reason that I look at these a little, I see them, they're real in my own life. But I think one of the results of discontentment that we see in a lot of people's lives is debt. I know that sounds like I really took off on a wild chase there, but I believe it. I think it's true. I have debt, and because of that, you may not accept what I'm trying to tell you, and I might even agree with you who may argue with me, but on some points. But I don't want to say that as a blanket statement, but I'd rather, if each of us think of it clearly, if we can justify the loans that we have, the debt we have, by asking ourselves if we borrowed that money because we were content with what we already had. Did we go borrow money because we were content with what we already had? And maybe there's some things that you could offer me that would make that look different, but it's just a thought that kept sticking in my mind. And I don't want to say this to cause argument or contention, because I know there are some good reasons to borrow money, but I don't think there are very many good reasons. And I would just want to encourage all of us to get our loans paid off as soon as we can. And I also want to encourage you people that do not have debt, that consider this before you get a loan. Make sure you need what you're borrowing for, or make sure that you can't get by a little longer without it, because it will cause debt doesn't help you out. And I think that much debt is achieved in the world because of discontentment in people's lives. Another result of discontentment is almost along the same line, but it's anxiety and lack of peace in your life. A lot of worry comes from a heart of discontentment. The poor person has nothing, and so he becomes discontented because he wants more, because he desires to get more. And by hook or crook, he gets more, then he worries. And the rich person who has much worries because he might lose all that he has. So it's a cycle. It doesn't help. No matter what circumstance you're in, you still have to make the decision to be content. I have a couple more things I just wanted to quote here from somebody else. No person can ever be happy until he has learned to enjoy what he has and not to worry over what he does not have. And then someone else said, and I think they were bringing out a point, I had no shoes and complained until I met a man who had no feet. This was shared in the Daily Bread in several years back, a little devotional thing. Probably many of you read it. As a rule, man's a fool. When it's hot, he wants it cool. When it's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what is not. And just goes on and on. The fruit of being content have far-reaching effects. I'd like to speak about that a little bit. And, you know, there was a... These are just inspirational stories. I don't know that they're even true. But there was a story of a man that was supposedly a very content man. He had a big farm, and he was really blessed with his farm. It was a rich farm. And he had a mining company come and tell him that he should get into mining. I forget what it was. It was some kind of a pearl or something that was supposed to be really good. And had a place where he could go and do it and was really sure. So he sold his farm and went there. Kept thinking about this would be such a good opportunity. And it was total disaster, hoax. Never worked out. But years later, the person that bought his farm, they were digging and they actually found the farm was also rich in minerals. His very own farm. And so I just was thinking of that if he would have just stayed where he was, been content with what God had given him in the first place, he could have been blessed with his mining and mined all the minerals he liked. If you want to have happiness and peace in your life, we have to choose to be content. And the people in life that that have made a choice to be content in the whole world, Christians or non-Christians, they're truly the happiest people in the world. So one big way to choose contentment is to double check ourselves about why we're getting something. Make sure we're not getting something just to try to make ourselves happy. And there's three rules that stand out to me that ensure that you are content. Be thankful for what you have, much or little, and remember that God gave it to you. Number two, accept your circumstances and seek to grow spiritually regardless what your circumstances are. And number three, accept thankfully where God has placed you in your life. I believe if you take those three rules, and there might be more you could add to them, that you can be content. But it's your decision. It's a choice that every person has to make, regardless what you have or what you don't have. And I thought of Abraham and Lot. They were uncle and nephew. They were two different men whose lives show two distinct differences between contentment and discontentment. Abraham was content and Lot was discontent. Lot chose the best and he wanted more. Abraham chose to be content with whatever was left over, trusting God would take care of him. Lot almost lost his faith. Some people argue that he did. Abraham was taken care of God and blessed. And, you know, you think of their lives as Lot chose to go down into that beautiful valley. And they were fighting. And I, Bible doesn't say this, but I've often wondered if Lot, that fight wasn't mostly Lot's problem. That if Lot wouldn't have cared so much, they couldn't have maybe got along. I think they need to separate, but I think Lot's life is an example of where discontentment will lead you. The verse we read says the root of all evil is to love money. If you love money, you probably are not a content person. Loving money will make you discontent, and allowing yourself to be discontent is sin. And so I'll close with that. I just hope that this message can encourage each of us to be victorious in choosing to be content regardless what we're going through or what we're facing, and to recognize that our happiness comes from the decisions that we make and not what we have or don't have. I'll leave it open for testimony or Maybe someone else has something they'd like to add for a little bit.